السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and all our sisters who listen, our receivers, the day of Jumu'ah in the month of Ramadan is a very, very Mubarak day. As it is, the day of Jumu'ah has got so much of speciality, and especially in the month of Ramadan, it is all multiplied. So therefore, we should not be negligent. The month of Ramadan is moving very, very fast. Before we know what has happened, it will be over. This morning also I gave that example, and a few weeks ago, or before the month of Ramadan commenced, I mentioned it here in one of the majlis, that our condition is like that, where a king has given a basket to somebody and say that I've got orchards. So therefore you must take this basket and choose as much as you wish to. Fill up your basket, fill up your containers, fill up whatever amount of fruit you wish to, and then you can proceed through the gate into the next orchard. And there you can fill as much as you want, and then go into the third one. But the only condition is that once you have passed the first gate into the second one, then you can't return to the first one. And when you have passed the gate into the third one, then you cannot return to the second one. After you have passed those gates, then finish. You can't go backwards. So now this person, he takes that big basket, big container, and he goes into the first orchard. And he sees lovely fruit there, beautiful, very, very tempting. Trees are laden with that fruit. But he says, probably there's better ones in the next orchard. So therefore I will leave it for the next one. So he goes into the second one. Now obviously he can't return to the first one. He's already in the second one. When he goes there, he sees even better fruit there. Trees are laden with fruit. But he doesn't even pluck anything from there. He says, well, if this second one is in this condition, then the third one will be even better than this. So he keeps on delaying it, he enters into the third one. When he enters into the third one, there he says, even better. Plentiful of fruit. Much, much better than even the first and second one. So now he says, no, not now, when I go into the next one. But when he goes out of the third gate, then there's nothing, finished. There's no gardens, there's no trees, there's no fruit, nothing. It's an example. But it is very, very relevant to this month of Ramadan. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us the baskets of the heart. That we must fill it up in this month of Ramadan. The first 10 days we were told, أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ. That the first 10 days, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us, is full of rahmat, full of mercy. So we should fill up this heart of ours as much as we can. But we said, no, tomorrow I'll start, tomorrow, and our lifestyles remain the same. We didn't bring about any changes. I'm talking about the majority like us. We must consider ourselves the worst ones. That we couldn't do justice, we said next 10 days. Maulana will make the best of the next 10 days, because the next 10 days is maghfirat. أَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرًا. So we say the next 10 days we'll fill up these baskets of our heart with the maghfirat of Allah, forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Those are the fruits that we are going to fill our baskets with. So we enter into the second one. When we enter into the second one, the same thing happens. We look at all the fruits, we look at the maghfirat, but we say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Our time is still passed in those same useless, futile activities. That same TV viewing, that same music, that same negligence in salat, that same evil gazing, haram fantasizing, porn sites and filthy literature, and some people even in the month of Ramadan, they can't give up their zina, their adultery and fornication, believe me what I'm telling you. They can't give it up. They're so addicted that although the shayateen, the devils are chained, but that habit which is formed over the 11 months, then that habit continues even in the month of Ramadan. There's no need for a shaitan after that to cause any kind of deviation or temptation or whispering. This person himself has become a shaitan. So even in the month of Ramadan, the person cannot resist the temptation of committing zina, and then they want to know how much money must we give. That's all. That means if it's a rich person or multi-rich person, then just how much money must we give as kafara? Why did Sharia make it so difficult that first is not just giving money, first is 60 fasts and consecutive. You can't even break. You can't even say that I'll keep first 10, then I'll have a holiday and a break for 10 days, then I'll keep another 10. 60 fasts, it's not simple. Then after that comes all the kafara and in the form of money and to show the importance of it. So this person can't even give up that. But any case, then we enter the third one. When we enter the third one, we say, well, now that is the last 10 nights. That is where I will really make the best of it. Because as I always go on explaining when it comes to the 21st night, that this is the first of the flights. It's the first of the flights. Laylatul Qadr could be in any one of the odd nights. So that is the first of the flights. So we say we'll make the best of the 21st. But when the 21st comes, we'll say 23rd is still there. Then we wait for the 23rd. Then we say still 27th is there, 29th is there. Suddenly everything is gone. All the flights are gone. Now we come out of the gate of Ramadan. We can't go backwards. No fruits in our basket. Our hearts are still empty. There is no real change in our lives. There is no noor that has come into ourselves. There is no change in our akhlaq, in our dealings, in our relationship with people. Then we make, hi, I wish I made the best of Ramadan, but it's too late. Ramadan is gone. Therefore, we should not be negligent. This ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I recited, it is a verse which we listen to at the end of the second khutbah every Friday. From the time of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, it has been included. Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala states, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. So from this ayat we learn that Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the commencement of the revelation was in Ramadan. It was in the night of Qadr, again month of Ramadan. Night of Qadr, again month of Ramadan. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr. So we all know that it is better than 1,000 months of ibadat if a person has to stay awake and make some ibadat on the 29th, on the night of Qadr. But this is what will happen, that we are going to wait for this, wait for that, and Ramadan will go. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, we listen to. The Quran Sharif was revealed for guidance for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. And the effect and impact that it has had on the hearts of the disbelievers, they understood Arabic in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all around people were speaking Arabic there in Arabia. So they understood But this ayat of the Quran Sharif, we listen every Jummah. How much of impact has it had? Or how many of us really bothered to pick up the Quran Sharif translation and see what is this Imam Sahib saying at the end of the second khutbah every Jummah? Why does he recite this verse? So it is stated, now we can only give you the gist of this ayat in the little time that we have. It is stated that this ayat, it is comprehensive. It covers every aspect of a person's life. What is required by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is required of this Muslim and the believer and of man on the surface of this earth? So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Aksam ibn Sayfi was one of the leaders of a very big tribe. When he heard of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran is revealed upon him. So he became inquisitive. He wanted to find out what is the message of this person that is claiming to be the prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is his message? So he decided to go himself. But his people stopped him. They said, no, you are our leader. You must not go. If something happens to you, what's going to happen? That is how many people were prevented from going to those programs or going to seek knowledge, to get guidance by people around them. This happens in every age and time. And then they are deprived. So they gave him all kinds of stories. But then he said, all right, if that's the case, then he chose two people as his ambassadors and he sent them. Now when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, we want to just first find out what is he inviting towards, who is he, and then they'll come and report to him, and then he'll make a decision. So when they went to him, only two questions they asked him, Man anta wa ma anta? Man anta, who are you? Now they expected Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam to now give a whole history, whose son he is, and whose grandson, and what is the family, and all the other details. Instead of that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam merely said, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. That's all. He didn't go into any details. But when they made some inquiries, they found that his lineage is also very, very good. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right up to Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It is stated that in that whole chain, although those people did not accept Islam, or there was no Islam in quite a few of those periods of time, there was nobody practicing on Islam, inviting towards Islam. But still, in that whole chain, up to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, said no one had committed zina. Now that is a unique thing. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man anta wa ma anta. That means they were married in accordance with their tradition. Whatever was their tradition, if they were Christians, they were married according to Christian, this thing is it. Whatever the tradition, they were married like that. And that is how their children were born, in that whole chain. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I am Muhammad son of Abdullah. Then when they asked, wa ma anta, in other words, what is your mission? What is your invitation towards? What are you calling towards? Then he said that I am the servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and I am his messenger. That's all. In that one word that I am the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, everything was covered already. Because the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala receives wahi, revelation, and he doesn't say anything out of his own will and accord. It is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes him say. And thereafter he say, recited the same verses. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i zil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal bagh ya'izukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. So they asked him to repeat until they learnt it properly. And they went back and they reported to this Aksam bin Sayfi, who was their leader, who was their master of that tribe. So when he heard this verse, immediately he said that he is inviting towards good character, good akhlaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we didn't even meet him, we just heard the verses. And he says these verses clearly indicate that he is inviting towards everything that is good, everything that is pure, everything that is going to be of benefit. I'm just giving you explanation. And he is asking us to restrain ourselves and withhold ourselves from anything and everything that is going to cause harm, that is evil, that is obscene, that is shameless, that is indecent, from base qualities is stopping. And he tells his people that accept Islam quickly so that you may be in the forefront. Otherwise this deen is definitely going to spread, then you will remain behind. The whole tribe accepts Islam just listening to this one verse, which we listen to at the end of the second khutbah, doesn't have any impact. Like this, Hazrat Usman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala, and it is in Ibn Kathir, that he states that in the early days I accepted Islam just because other people were accepting Islam, so I too accepted Islam. But Islam had not settled in my heart, it had not penetrated my heart. Then he says, one day I was sitting by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and suddenly the signs that he was receiving revelation came. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the signs were there when he used to receive a revelation. He used to perspire. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once had his leg on the leg of another sahabi. The person said it was as if my legs are going to crack, the bones are going to crack, that's the kind of weight. When he used to sit on the camel and the wahi, the Quran Sharif was being revealed, the weight of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the camel also couldn't take. That is the Quran Sharif which we have got, which we can read so easily. Nevertheless, we say this ayat were revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he recited it. When I heard those verses, he said it settled in my heart. Now that iman, that verses that came, we say Islam, iman, everything entered my heart deeply. So this is the impact of this verse. Now in it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders adl. Firstly is adl, justice, to be fair, to be equitable, to be just. Now this justice, there is a lengthy explanation which I have given in the past also here many times. But it is not only what we have at the courts of law. In fact, most of the courts of justice today are courts of injustice around the world. Most of the courts of justice have become courts of injustice. The judges can be bribed, the magistrates can be bribed, anybody can be bribed. The people who have got the wealth and the money, then they can get lots of decisions in their favor. It's a common thing around the world, look at it. So first of all, it is justice. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders us to be just. Now this adl, the explanation has been given as adl between oneself and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then what will be that justice? It will mean that the person obeys Allah ta'ala's commands and ahkam. Although he will never be able to do justice, but at least he knows and realizes that he is the banda and the servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he has got no right to disobey him, because he is making use of all the bounties blessed to him by Allah ta'ala. We must never think that all these things are belonging to us. It is Allah ta'ala who gave it to us, our sight, our hearing, speech, heart, liver and lungs, who gave it to us in the mother's stomach. So the justice there in a nutshell would mean that the person goes to the maximum length to be obedient to Allah ta'ala and distances himself all that is displeasing to Allah ta'ala. The same with adl with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ihsan and favor upon us is tremendous. So what is the justice there? The justice will be that we find out from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that means from his teachings, that what is it that a Muslim should do, how his life should be, how he should conduct himself. All the detailed explanations that have been given about business, about marriage, about walimas, about nikahs and talaqs and buying and selling and travel and eating and drinking, everything is there. Nothing is left out. So now the person goes to the maximum length and he tries his level best to do everything that is pleasing to Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and distances himself from all that is haram. Then when it comes to justice with the people, there again he has to be absolutely fair and just. whether the person is a teacher at a school, whether the person is a lawyer, whether the person is a magistrate or a judge, whether the person is a king and a ruler, whether the person is in position and authority, or he is just a parent. Everyone, they have to be just and fair. When it comes to children also, there must be justice. In everything there must be justice. And especially those who have got 2 wives and 3 wives, then it's even more important that there must be fair and just. Otherwise the punishment is also severe. So this justice then again with oneself, that even in one's one body also there has to be this adal. Adal meaning that the person must not abuse this body. The body also there must be justice. Whatever is recommended for good health, the person must adopt those means. Exercise, eating food, sufficient but not overeating, not eating the wrong kinds of things. In the same way, the person should not be smoking, he should not be taking dakha and drugs, he should not be taking those things which destroy his health. He should be eating according to Sharia and within limits. That means don't purposely do anything that will cause harm to even this body. Adal even in that. That is Sharia. Look at Islam, how beautiful. If the body will stay in good health, who is going to benefit? The person himself. But at present what happens is they watch porn sites upon porn sites, read filthy, filthy literature, and after that they destroy themselves. You understand what I am saying. They destroy their health. And then they keep running to all the hakims and doctors. But sometimes it's too late. They can't even father children after that. Because they've destroyed their health with their own hands. So therefore Shariat says that even adal with one's own body is important. That the person must not do anything that will cause injury and harm to his own body. This body also is a machine that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us. And we have to keep it in good condition. Like this we can go on, adal, with so many different things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. To make ihsan. The rest of it I will just go through it quickly and we'll deal with it or discuss it in detail again inshallah if Allah gives life, health and another opportunity. So ihsan, one is that ihsan which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned. When Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him and said, Mal ihsan, what is ihsan? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara. That you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him with your own eyes. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. And if we cannot get that degree, then at least every Muslim, every believer, he must understand and realize, and every human being must know that, that Allah is watching him. Every Muslim, first of all, his ibadat should be like that, that he is watching as if. And if not, then Allah is watching. Now that ibadat again is not only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj that we have ihsan, sifat of ihsan. The sifat of ihsan must be in everything. We will discuss inshallah in detail sifat of ihsan. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And to give to the relatives. Now these relatives are one group of people who consider it their right that they must be given everything. The mother will say, I'm your mother. The son will say, I'm your son. The brothers will say, I'm your brother. So everybody considers it their right. So therefore, no matter what you do for a relative, most of the time it won't be appreciated. If a person has given, who is a rich person, gave him a couple thousands of rands, then they will say that person, even if he gave 1 million, what shot it was of? He's got so much. So even if he gave 1 million, what ihsan he did on me. Allah gave him so much. So they won't appreciate. Therefore Allah Ta'ala emphasizes that these relatives and these family members, irrespective of what they do, but they are your family members. Be good to them, be kind to them. And Allah Ta'ala will increase your risk and sustenance and He'll give barakat in your life if you are good to your family members, kith and kin. That again is a whole subject. And then as far as prohibitions are concerned, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He prohibits you يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. فحشاء is everything that is indecent, obscene, shameless, which every sensible person regards as obscene and shameless, irrespective of who he may be. And munkar is all those things which Shariat tells us is sinful, it is haram, it is not right, it is something that is not displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, so all the munkar. So Allah Ta'ala asks you to stay away from fahsha and from munkar. And baghi, one of the meanings, and that is the accepted one, is that injustice. Now, three things he orders us, and three things he asks us to stay away from. But it is comprehensive. If you have to unpack, as they say, these three words here, then we can go into an ocean, which has got no depth. You can't reach the depth. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us an understanding. And even if we bring the first thing in our life, then we have brought everything in our life. So this Mubarak month of Ramadan that is going by so fast, let us appreciate the remaining days. Cut down as much as we can on our worldly activities. Whatever is very important and necessary, it has to be undertaken, then do it, get over it quickly, then get to the masajid or get home. Switch off those TVs and movies and all that. In the month of Ramadan, look at the number of women who are complaining. Women are now wanting to make ibadah, zikr, tilawat, and they say the husbands are coming and putting the TV on full blast in the month of Ramadan. So who are we going to complain to if we don't have barakat in our life and we have nothing but quarrels and fights and arguments? May Allah Ta'ala give us the barakat, rahmat and maghfirat of this Mubarak month and remove the difficulties, hardships, tests and trials of the ummah around the globe and of mankind around the globe. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.